Well, here we are. I had a great day yesterday at the graduation, the fifth graduation of the second years. It was so good. I told them that we were there at the very first meeting of Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we were there for the and did the music for the very first graduation of Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm just going to tell you three little things very quickly. First of all, they asked me this morning, and yesterday they also asked me, well, do you have any product? Do you have any product? Do you have any anything that we can put up in the back over there that our people can buy? And I said, no, because I couldn't get enough cans of doom. So I decided to just... God is good, I tell you. Doom. Okay, forget that. Now, I phoned my wife and I told her what a great day we had yesterday. And Stella and I have been married for 48 years. We married for 48 years because I married a Zambian. Yeah, I married a Zambian. She was born in Luansha in Zambia. And so she told me, I'm going to tell you this morning again like yesterday, Mutendi Mogwai Molekosa. See? Was that okay? I got to check with the Bemba brother over here. Was that okay? Was that good? Okay, because I never know what I'm saying often. Anyway, whatever. And Stella and I have a daughter. I wish I had a picture I could put up. My daughter, our daughter, is, I tell you, I get emotional because we adopted her when she was 1.5 months old. She was an AIDS orphan. Her parents were dead. And her mother actually tried to abort her twice because her mother was only about 17 years old. And by those days in South Africa, it was illegal to do abortions. And so here was this little girl. Anyway, cut the long story short, she's now 24 years old and she's in medical school in Australia and she's studying medicine. And we just said, you know, if somebody will just give somebody else a chance in life, the whole world could be different. And I just want to honor this morning. I want to honor your pastors because I've known them, like they said, like Walker said, a long time. And I never knew the level to which they had ascended here in Zambia. And that's what they're doing here. They're giving the people of Zambia a step up. And they're giving the people of Zambia a chance. And so I honor them this morning for what they have done. In Jesus' name. One more thing and then we're going to go on. This morning, you know, you've got to be careful when you pray for rain. The minister of South Africa said that God never answered our prayer when we prayed for rain because he flooded us instead. I said, damn, I'll take rain any way I can get it. What are you talking about, flooding? Anyway, so this morning at Upwash 3, I hear this noise, and I don't know what it is. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go look. It must be raining like mad outside. And so I get out of bed, and my feet are wet. So I thought, what? And you know, you're off asleep, so you don't know what's going on. So, what? What is this? Well, what happened here? The whole hotel is flooded. God, please, I'm here on the third floor. I cannot get down. And then I realized, no, there's something else going on here. And so I walk into the bathroom, and here's water squirting out the back of the toilet, you know, where the pipe comes in the back. So I turn it off quickly, and I'm standing there and I said, boy, thank God, where's my stuff? I thought, did I put my Bible and my notes on the floor? But fortunately, I put nothing on the floor. But anyway, everything turned out okay. It's not the hotel's fault. It's just one of those things that happened. But here I am. And God is good. This morning I want to speak to you. The title of the message is, and I confess before I even say the title, I stole the title from somebody else. Most guys, when they preach and they'll say this. They'll say, as Billy Graham said, and then they'll quote. And then the next time they say it, they'll say, as somebody said. And then the next time they say it, they'll say, as I always say. So I'm telling you ahead of time. I stole the title. I was reading a book, and there it was. And the title of the message is, What is So Amazing About Grace? We are, the one thing that makes us different as Christians is that in everything that we believe, grace is preeminent in everything that we have. You can go to any other religion and talk to them about the future and talk to them about heaven and talk to them about whatever, and they'll say, well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, thank God. When somebody comes to a born-again Christian and they say, what's going to happen in the future? Where are you going? This one thing I know, I am going to heaven. Amen. Read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now listen, you are not going to be sitting there one day. You are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, right there. At the right hand of the Father. That's where you are, and that's where I am in Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. People brag and talk all the time about the things that they do. I take care of the poor. I've done this. I've given that. I've done that. I've done the other. And they think that somehow they are able to earn grace from God. And yet the Bible says that your works and my works are as filthy rags to God. That's not what saves you. Your works are not what saves you. Your works are a result of your relationship with Christ. Amen. Times have changed. We live in a different world today. Things are completely different from when I was growing up as a kid. Things are completely, completely different. I'm old. I'm 70. I know you all thought I was like 50. Say, oh, that guy's only 50. Look at him. No, I'm 70 years old. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. Pastor talked about some of the things that God has enabled us to do. Listen, Stella and I started traveling on the road when we were like 22 years of age. We were just kids. But we felt the call of God. And we were traveled in Russia and Poland and Eastern Europe and all of those countries. We've met everybody from Pope John Paul II. We were with him all the time there in Rome. You know, sometimes when you see the Pope speak and he speaks up there in the sky and there's that thing hanging down from the window. I've been there in that window, in that room. So and it's nothing. I'm just a kid. But we're there. And they said, but you go to Russia, you go to all of these places. No, we went there. We were so young. We were too stupid to be scared. That's why I love being with young people. Old people make me scared. Old people frighten me. But young people are so full of vigor and so full of energy. And there's nothing that you can tell young people, you can't do that. Because they say, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. That's why I just love the graduation of a Bible school. Now, there were some older people in the Bible school. There was a general that graduated from the Bible school. And you can't call him reverend and you can't call him pastor. You have to call him general. Yes, sir. He graduated from the Bible school. But the others, a lot of young people. And the worship team up, you know, I just love it. The energy of young people, because it takes me back to then. And with Billy Graham and with Oral Roberts and with Kenneth Copeland and Brother Hagin and T.L. Osborne and all of these people. One of the great things about being raised in my generation was that we got to be with all the great healing evangelists. Catherine Kuhlman. Stella one day traveled all the way. She's just a kid. She was 9 years old. Traveled all the way from Luanda in Zambia down to the tobacco auction halls in Salisbury in Rhodesia. And Oral Roberts was preaching there. And they would come early in the morning to book their seats right down here, because the meeting only started in the afternoon. But they had their seats. And they'd go out and they'd play. But she was sitting right over here. And Brother Roberts had this woman that had a goiter on her neck. It was big like this, like a grapefruit, huge. And he looked at her and he turned her around to the crowd and he said, "How many of you believe that God can heal this woman?" Everybody put their hand up. They all believed that God could do it, because they weren't doing the praying. He was doing the praying. So they, "Can you believe?" "Yes." And Stella's sitting right there, this little 9-year-old girl looking like this, the big eyes. "I hope this works, because if it doesn't, somebody's going to kill us all." And Brother Roberts turned her back around, laid his hand on, and she says that as he began to pray, she watched his hand moving towards her throat like this until it was her neck, until it was gone completely. So when you come to us and you say to our generation, "God does not heal," I say, "Well, you came too late." Because we saw miracles. A little guy that traveled with her, a friend traveled with her from Luanda. And this guy had a real problem. He was squint. He was saying, squint. His eyes were like, he was so cross-eyed that when he cried, his tears ran down his back. I'm only kidding. But and he blinked all the time because he was so embarrassed. So this little guy is standing there. And Brother Roberts takes this little kid and says to you, "How many believe that God can straighten this young man's eyes?" And by then they'd had the woman with the goiter. So this time everybody, "Oh yeah, man, you can do it. God can do it. This is very cool. Let's just get on with the show." And he lays hands on this little boy and prays. And he turns him around and his eyes are dead straight. It was Stella's friend. She knew him. They traveled all the way from Luanda, and they traveled all the way back to Luanda. And by the time he got back to Luanda, even the blinking of his eyes had stopped. Perfectly healed. We believe in a God of miracles. We believe that by grace we are saved through faith. So here we were with all of these people. And it's interesting that pastor called me Reverend Gordon Kalmayer. I'm glad my mom and my dad weren't here, because my dad one day came to visit me at Rhema, and he saw the sign above my door, and it said, "Reverend Gordon Kalmayer." He said, "What is this?" I said, "It's my name." He said, "That's not your name. We called you Gordon." So I said, "Dad, please stop it. It doesn't mean anything." He said, "No, it does mean something. You didn't grow up with that kind of stuff." So I said, "I'm going to go and get a saw in my car and I'm going to cut that thing off." So I said, "But why?" He said, "Because the Bible says holy and reverend is his name, not your name." I said, "Okay, just calm down." So, society has changed. Look at the election in South Africa. Look at the election in America. Look what's going on in Turkey. Look at Brexit. Nobody ever thought that the British would leave the EU. But they left. Because the people, you cannot just rely on him anymore on, well, they said or he said or she said. No, the people, lives have changed. Things have changed. And for us in the church, we can't just get up and postulate all kinds of things anymore from the pulpit and just say stuff, just pull stuff out the sky and say stuff and spray people with doom. No, because people sit there and they say, "Are you serious?
What are you talking about?
Say, well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Because you're in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by faith you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a free gift of God. So when people come there and say, well, I go to church, I say, no, excuse me. I told the students yesterday, we have 66 books in this Bible. That's all we have. Nothing else. You can't add anything to it, and you can't take away anything from it. And those 66 books is what changed my life. As the brother said to you on the screen, it changed his life. He didn't have a dad. So God said, okay, you don't have a dad, I'll be your dad. And there's one thing I promise you. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There will never be a day when you will be without me. And I sense that all the time. God is with us. This church didn't just happen here because two young people from America had a good idea. That's not why it happened. It happened because God is here. God saw this thing before the foundations of the world. And God said, I need somebody to do that thing in Lusaka in Zambia. And so God said, well, I see these two young kids over here. I'll take them. And that's the way it happens in everything that we do. In a place in England, in Olney, actually, in England, there's a cemetery. And in that cemetery, there is a granite tombstone. On that granite tombstone, this is what he said. This is what it says. Here lies the body of John Newton, a clerk. Once he was an infidel, a libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the faith that he had so long labored to destroy. That young man was raised in a good, godly family. But he decided he didn't want all this stuff anymore. So he took off. He joined the Navy. He sailed the oceans of the world and ended up on the west coast of Africa. He sank so low, trading in human lives and human flesh. He eventually ended up as the slave of a slave. One day while he was sitting there, he came to himself like the prodigal did. And he said, I can't do this anymore. I will return to England, to my family. Got on the ship, but in the middle of the ocean, the storm came up, and it seemed like the ship would be totally destroyed and he would be drowned. He got down on his knees and he prayed, just like so many of us have done. Prayed and said, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. If you will save my life, I promise you that I will preach this gospel until the day that I die. Most of you don't know who John Newton is, but here's what you do know. You know the song that he wrote. It's a song that's been the top of the hit parade in the secular market. It's been the top of the church. It's one of the greatest hymns that we've ever sang in our church. The hymn is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. These stories are multiplied all the time. This young man comes home from work one day in Texas. And as he walks into the house, he hears this noise coming from the bedroom. And he rushes back to the bedroom, and there he sees his wife with a cushion, a pillow, over the face of their newly born baby, and she's trying to stop this child from breathing. She's trying to kill the child. And he grabs her and he says, what are you doing? And she says, this is the only way that I can pay penance for the sin that I've committed. And the story was that while he was drafted into the army in Vietnam, and while he was away, they'd just gotten married, and while he was away, she had committed adultery with another man, and this child was the product of that illicit relationship. Well, when he came back, of course, he knew immediately, this is not my child. But he decided, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to adopt this child as my own. I love this woman. This is my wife. She made a mistake. I forgive her. And in the grace of God, I'm going to leave this thing the way it is because this is my child. But his wife couldn't get away from it that easily, because inside of her all the time was the record of this sin that she had committed. And she thought that if she could somehow pay penance, and she said to God, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give up the thing that I love most in the whole world is my child. I'm going to sacrifice that child if you'll forgive me. That is not the God of the Bible. Our works are as filthy rags because God has given us grace. That's how we live our lives. Billy Graham said, you notice I read his name first. Billy Graham said that the central neurosis of our time, the central mental disorder in the world today is emptiness and loneliness. We live in great cities with apartment complexes and thousands of people living together in housing developments and all that kind of stuff. And yet most people don't know who the guy living right next door to them is. They're lonely. They are alone. And it just about drives them crazy. Ernest Hemingway, one of our great American authors, said, I live in a vacuum, as lonely as a radio when the batteries are flat and there's no power to plug into. He was a man that had these great parties in Cuba. And he would drink and they would party and they would rant and rave and do all kinds of things. And now he finds himself here. I am so lonely and I'm alone. I've done everything. But I'm alone. Just shortly after that, he took a shotgun and put it under his studio and blew his head off. Committed suicide. The devil is not our friend. The devil has decided that he will destroy everything that God has created. The devil is trying to destroy. And he starts with the lives of that which is most precious to God, you and me. We sing our songs and we pray our prayers. Dr. Carl Menninger, who is the past president of the American Psychological Association, he has hospitals all over America, and he said this, if I could convince my patients in my psychiatric hospital that their sins are forgiven, 75% of them would walk out of that hospital the next day. Guilt is the opposite of grace. The devil operates in guilt because he knows there is no cure for guilt. You feel guilty about something that you've done. And he comes and he rubs it in and rubs it in and rubs it in. And you just cannot find peace. You cannot find escape for what you've done. But God comes to you in grace. And God uses the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is not there to make you feel guilty. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to convict you of sin. And thank God there's a way of escape. And his name is Jesus. God, I love that. There's a way out for everything that we do. See, inside of us, inside of every one of us, there's a God-shaped vacuum right in here. And I think that it doesn't say it in the Bible, but it also doesn't not say it. So I just made it up. I think that that God-shaped vacuum that's inside every one of us is a residue of what Adam had in Eden. When he related to God and he fellowshipped with God, and there was this place here that was shaped like God. And we try everything that we can to fill that void inside of us. We try sport and we start, and that's easier in Zambia because you've got one of the greatest football soccer teams in the world. The Zambian soccer team, I watch them on TV. And occasionally they even beat the, what's that team called? They're so bad, I've forgotten their name. Bafana Bafana. Our rugby team is only more useless than them. But it's okay. So we try to fill it with sport. Or we try alcohol, or we try drugs, or we try women, and it just doesn't fit here. And you're more miserable than what you were before you started in the search for whatever it is. Until one day, somebody comes to you and says, you need Jesus. And you get down on your knees like I did. I was born and raised in church. I was born on a Friday. On Sunday, I was right there on the front row of the church with my mother. And for 17 years, listen, for 17 years, there was not one single Sunday that I was not in church. I used to win the prize every year for perfect attendance at Sunday school. And not because I was so great. My father was the superintendent of the Sunday school, so I had to be there. I heard every sermon. I heard every message. I sang every song. You know, those days we didn't have a thing on here. We had the hymn book, the red redemption hymns. I knew every hymn and still know every hymn in the redemption hymnal. Sing them all, those great hymns of the church. But all that meant nothing because here I was in church and doing all these things. And if anybody asked me, I could give you the chapter and the verse in the Bible. But then Stella came down, and she was a young woman in the Assemblies of God church. And they were having a youth camp. And so she said to me, would you go with me to the Hot Rods on Friday night? She said, okay, I'll go with you to Hot Rods if you'll go to church with me. I said, please. I've been in church my whole life. Well, how bad can this be? Well, there's nothing. I get to go out with this girl and I go to church. It's a good trade. Okay, so I go to church and okay, well, this is great. And all the people in the church would tell her, who's this guy? So no, we're just kind of dating. And the first time Stella actually saw me, I was coming home from work. And I had a suit on, and I had these black Jarman shoes. And I walked into the house, and I disappeared. She didn't know where I was. And she came to her aunt and said, there's a Mormon in our house. Because to her, I looked like the Mormon guy who comes and knocks on the door. So I said, no, that's Gordon. And leave him alone. You don't have anything to do with him. He's a bad person. Are you serious? I never did anything wrong in my whole life. In fact, I didn't even need to be saved. What was I going to get saved from? What did I do? Nothing. I was in church all the time, singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Then she said to me, okay, I want you to come to the youth camp with me. And at that youth camp, you know, you hear people talk about their hand wanted to go up by itself and they sat on their hands. I'm telling you, I can tell you, that's true. I sat there while those guys were preaching, and it's almost like God taking my hand and want to force it. I said, stop it, leave me alone. And I'm sitting on my hands like this. And eventually, I couldn't stand it anymore. And at the end of the service on the Saturday night, Easter Sunday night, it was an Easter camp, Easter Sunday night, the guy came up to me and he said, don't you want to be saved? And I was just like tired of fighting this battle. And I said, yes, okay, I do. So in the same way that I had to do that, so do you. There's no way around this. Well, my mom and dad go to church. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. No grandchildren. Doesn't matter what your mom and dad did. Doesn't matter how holy they are, how righteous, how in the church, how serving on the church board. Doesn't matter. All that's nothing. If you are not born again, you see, we bring ourselves to a place and then find that we do not have the resources to complete ourselves. We try everything. We have got to be completed by someone above and beyond ourselves. Reinhard always used to say that the church is not a hotel. The church is a hospital where we take care of hurting people. It doesn't matter what your problem is this morning. It doesn't matter how bad you are. They ask me all the time, people, well, would you allow that person to come to your church? I say, of course. It doesn't matter what the person has done. That person is welcome to come to church. It doesn't matter what lifestyle they've got. I don't care. Because the preaching of the word, the entrance of the word brings light and life. And it won't be long before that person, no matter who they are, that person says, okay, I want to get saved. I need Christ as my Lord and my Savior. By the way, I have all my pages here because I don't trust the iPad. And fortunately, because this morning the iPad, I don't know if it got rained on or if it got wet or something, but anyway, the iPad keeps on switching off, but thank God I got them here. So I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. This is here. It's prepared. What's so amazing about grace? The thing that's amazing about grace is that it's free. You don't have to pay. There's no price that you can pay for God's grace. Grace is free. A little girl was in a school class one day and they were talking about different things and teacher was questioning them. You know the way the teachers do these days. They try to be clever with the kids. And so comes to this girl and she gets up and she says, I'm a born-again Christian. Well, the response to that was immediately people started laughing and joking and snickering and saying all kinds of things. So the teacher said, now hold on. She said, hold on. And I think she thought she's going to make a fool of this young girl. And she began to question her. Why are you? Why are you doing? Why did you go? Why did you go to some? Why do you? She said, because of a song that I once heard called Amazing Grace. And she said, I found out in my few years that I've been alive, I found out that the greatest thing about Christianity is that it's free. Isn't that amazing? Everything else, there's a cost. But God's amazing grace is free. Grace costs the giver of grace everything. But it costs you and I nothing. The recipient gets the grace for free. God gave everything that he had and did everything that he could to get you and I saved. It was a great concert. I remember listening to it and seeing it. It was a concert at Wembley Stadium for the inauguration of President Mandela. The stadium was absolutely jammed, like a cup final, jammed with people. They were even sitting down on the playing surface. They had every kind of rock and roll band and all that kind of music was going on and everybody was jumping up and down and jiving and carrying on and screaming and shouting and what have you. And then they announced the name of the person who was going to sing the last song. And they called her name. The others were still there. The other groups were still there. Guns N' Roses and all kinds of names that I can't even pronounce. I'm too old to remember them all. But all of a sudden, the band, the music stopped. And the spotlight went on to the walkway that came out from the dressing area. And there came this woman in her white kind of satin, whatever it was, dress, came walking out. The spotlight followed her all the way along like this. And the people, first of all, were silent. And they thought, what? What is this now? Then they began to scream and make a noise. No, no, we want Guns N' Roses, and we want this, and we want that, and we want, you know, whatever. And Jesse Norman walked out there. She went up to the microphone. No band, no music, 70,000 people. She picked up the microphone and she began to sing. Not a quiver in her voice, nothing. Yet the people were screaming and shouting and carrying on. And she started off singing a song. Amazing grace. It was unbelievable. I get goose flesh. She sang the song. And the crowd were making a noise. And the more she sang, the more 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. Her soprano voice just belting out there over the sound system. No instruments, no nothing. When we've been there, by the time she got to when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first began. By the time she got there, half the crowd had done exactly what you did. They began to sing along with her. After the song, they asked her, I said, what in the world did you do? She said, nothing. I was as shocked as you were. I just came to sing. And this is a song that I love. And I didn't want to be bothered with a band and all of that kind of stuff. I just came to sing. And she said, the only thing that I can think of is when grace descends, the world falls silent before it. Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace is free. It's free. And anyone in this building this morning can avail yourself of that grace. Amazing grace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your amazing, amazing grace. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, that you care for us. That you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. That no matter who we are, God, we can be saved. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I don't know almost anybody in this building. So I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Have you ever just said, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. You don't have to get involved in any kind of form or ceremony or anything like that. Just that, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. And you don't even have to name them. I repent of my sin. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. God, this Sunday morning here in this church in Lusaka, I want to be born again. And you say, Pastor Gordon, will you pray for me and with me? Well, of course I will. It'll be my honor to be able to do that. And if that's you, throughout the building, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again, you may go to another church. You may have been to church like me your whole life, but you never accepted Christ as your Savior. If that's you, across this crowd, I just want you to sit right where you're sitting. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor Gordon, please pray for me. I need the grace of God in my life. Anybody like that, you'll just raise your hand quickly. Just raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed or shy. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. It's not important. but you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you'll raise your hand and say, Pastor Gordon, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to accept Christ as my Savior. Is anybody like that here? Don't be embarrassed. I see you there. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Anybody else over there? God bless you. Anybody else? Way back at the back there. Yes. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand quickly. Don't be embarrassed. Come on. Yes, back there. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, over there. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. I don't want to delay this, but I want to ask you again. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, just slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gordon, please pray for me. Anybody else? Quickly. And then we're going to pray. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. Anybody else? Raise your hand quickly. Okay. Let's all stand, shall we, please? Here's what I want you to do. Jesus said, if you will recognize me before men, I will recognize you before my Father. And I want you, if you raise your hand, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to walk down here. I want you to come. Just ask the person next to you, excuse me, pardon me, take your Bible, take your bag, and just make your way to the aisle and come walking down here and come and meet me down here in the front. I'm right here. And maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to come anyway. You can come. You didn't raise your hand. It's okay. Just come. Or maybe you're here with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You could just turn to them and say, hey, come on. If you want to go, I'll go with you. Your friend. You know. They don't know Christ. But just say to them, come on, I'll go down there with you. God bless you, man. I'll go down there with you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on. Is there anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? You raise your hand. And say, oh, I mean, you'll just make your way to the aisle. And you say, Gordon, I'm coming down there. I want to be born again as well. And like I say, you're here with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife or whoever it is, your friend. And you know this person does not know Christ. I'm just going to delay it for one more moment. And you turn to them and say, listen, if you want to go down there, I'll go with you. We know you. We know you're saved. It's okay. But you bring your friend. It's okay. Okay? If that's you, just make your way to the aisle quickly. And then you come down here. We're going to pray. And then we're going to believe God that you're born again. Your life has changed just like the guy that we saw on the screen. Alone, miserable, empty. But in 2012, he accepted Christ as his Savior. His life has completely changed. And he graduated from Bible school. God, I think that is incredible. Anybody else? And we're going to pray. Okay. Let's pray together. Just, you guys down the front, just raise your right hand like this and pray after me. Just say these words after me. And you're not going to be alone. Everybody's going to pray with you. Okay. We pray this. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that this morning you hear my prayer. I repent of my sin. I am sorry for the way I live my life. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, here's what I want you to do.